This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightline with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who has a black and white plasma TV, Pete Schwabba.
Let's light it up. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you are ready to embark on 2 hours of what I hope will be very entertaining radio as we head into the last weekend before Christmas. Conrad, do you remember how excited I got for the last weekend before Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Pump it up, buddy. Even louder now. This is great. This is one of my favorite weekends of the year because Christmas is still right around the corner. I know I geek out over Christmas a little bit, but it is great to have you with me, folks. We have a good show tonight. Matt Miller is here at 6:35 to talk about. There's some really good movies opening. He's seen a lot of films. He's way ahead of where I am when it comes to movie watching right now as to what's in theaters. But there's also like a ton of stuff opening this weekend that looks really good too. So we'll break that down with Matt. And then it is a bar band Friday night, ladies and gentlemen. One of my favorite. It's definitely in my top seven nights of the week, I would say, the bar band Friday night. But it's my favorite night here on Nightline. I love Fridays. I love when Terry comes on with new music. She brings us great tunes every week and really fun conversations. She's just so much fun to have on the show. So those are two guests that are going to help us light this up, this Friday edition of Nightlight. We've got a great question tonight, too. Should we jump right into the question, Conrad? What do you think?
Why would we wait? We need to do it now.
Why would we wait? Let's do it.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Very simple. What is your favorite Christmas carol? Last night we did least favorite Christmas carol. Last night the question was, what is this Christmas carol you despise so much it takes you out of the season and makes you lose your Christmas cheer? Tonight, we're going positive to end the week. What is your favorite Christmas carol, ladies and gentlemen? You can be sentimental. You can be nostalgic. Is it something that brings you tears or joy or whatever? Just let us know what your favorite Christmas carol is. It's very simple. And we hope you guys participate. It is always fun to read your texts on the radio. You can text us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can text us on the app. That's very easy. We're on statewide. So if you open up the app, unless there's a basketball game or something in your region, you'll get Nightlight on any of the stations, and you just click the little icon and fire away. Tell us your thoughts throughout the show, whether it's the question or anything, folks, whatever we're talking about, let us know what you're thinking. It's always good to hear from you guys. And then, Conrad, how can people text on the stream if they're watching the radio?
Yeah, so we're on Facebook, WGBW, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba and WISS. On YouTube, we're Civic Media and WGBW, and on Twitter, Civic Media or WGBW. And give us a like, too.
Yeah, give us a like, give us a follow, whatever you so desire, but just find us one way or the other, and be part of the show. This is the show that helps you wind down at the end of the day. It helps me wind down. I mean, I work most of the day planning this show, and it still helps me wind down because I've done the work. It's fun to come on here and talk about movies and TV and comedy. And in tonight's case, music with Terry. So that will be fun. And yeah, it's going to be a fun show. I saw this, Conrad. You're a fan of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
So I saw this article. It said 30 things you didn't know about It's a Wonderful Life. And I thought it was so cool. Just some basic ones. Jimmy Stewart was not always supposed to play George Bailey. Cary Grant was lined up at one point. And I know some people older than me typically love Cary Grant. I don't love Cary Grant. I like Cary Grant. He's fine. But I do not see him as George Bailey. To me, Jimmy Stewart is George Bailey. And obviously that's easy because he's played the role. He's shown us what he can do. But, and I'm sure there are other actors that would have played the role very well. but I don't, there's something movie starish about Cary Grant. He's less of an actor to me. Very handsome guy, very debonair, and a good actor, but I don't think he's a great actor. Just my opinion. So that was one. This is also Donna Reed's first starring role in a movie. I didn't realize that. Jimmy Stewart had just returned from fighting in World War II, and he didn't think he was ready for a big role in a movie yet. And he was wrong. Thank God he took the role. Bedford Falls at the time was considered one of the most elaborate movie sets in movie history to that point. And it was based on the town, Seneca Falls. I actually did not know Bedford Falls was a set. I thought they shot that on location. And maybe they did shoot on location in some areas, but pardon me. That was a great little factoid, I thought, and a beautiful set. So I just wanted to get that out of the way. If you guys have thoughts about It's a Wonderful Life, the reason I'm talking about it is because it dropped today in 1946. This masterpiece by Frank Capra came out in 1946. Conrad, that's a long time ago.
That's way before I was even a thought. Before my dad was, actually.
The only way you were a thought is if your grandparents were thinking, one day.
One day.
We're going to have a grandson called Conrad with a K, and it's going to be fantastic. So anyway, I thought that was kind of cool. I love the film. You can text us your thoughts on It's a Wonderful Life. The article I saw was on delish.com, if you want to check it out. D-E-L-I-S-H, delish.com. Holiday recipes. You just got to find it. Google delish.com. It's a Wonderful Life. 30 interesting tidbits about the film. So what is your favorite Christmas carol, Conrad? We kind of make fun of like bad Christmas carols. We did that last night, certainly. But let's celebrate them tonight. What is your favorite?
You know, I really like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
Really?
Yeah, I do like that song. Otherwise, it's like any Frank Sinatra song, any Frank Sinatra Christmas carol is just so good.
Look at that. You're a kid ahead of your time. That's impressive. I'm serious. That's great. Yeah, I like all of Sinatra's Christmas music as well. I love Tony Bennett's, Dean Martin. I like all the crooners. But I like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. That is a song that started to get a little annoying like in the 80s and 90s. It was on all the time. Then it kind of went away for a while. And now I've been hearing it a lot more on like satellite, Sirius, whatever. And it's just a fun song. It's very upbeat. I like, as far as the newer Christmas carols go, I like the song Little Saint Nick. That's kind of a fun song. Way up north where the air is cold. There's a song about Christmas that we should have given that. Wow. Think about that. When we give Luke the Christmas test.
Yeah.
On Tuesday, we'll have to remember that one. But it was also used in a movie by the Farrelly brothers called, what is it called? It's with Sean Hannity, Providence. I think it's called Providence. I'll look it up. But they use that song in the movie, and it's so well. It's like perfectly placed. So there are some of the new music. I've said yesterday, I like the Mariah Carey Christmas Carol. All I Want for Christmas Is You. I'm on that bandwagon. I like that song. It's just very happy. It starts off, it's so upbeat. I really like it. As far as new Christmas carols go, I'll say that's my favorite. And probably the classic is probably Oh Holy Night, I would say, would be my favorite of all time. So old school, Oh Holy Night, new school, Mariah Carey. I'm going total full-blown new school. Because I know a lot of people last night when we asked what was your least favorite, a lot of people mentioned that song, just saying it's overplayed. And it is. There's no question about that.
Definitely.
Yeah. So those are good ones. And now we ask you, what is your favorite Christmas carol or song? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I left the studio last night. I'm not going to lie. I was a little upset. Hey, man, and I'll tell you why. As you know, I've been a little under the weather. The weather came in last night. See what I did there? I stayed overnight in Green Bay. I didn't want to risk missing the show. So I got me a hotel room and I left the studio last night. I sang with the doctors in recital, even though I had a cold. I didn't hear a peep from you. No, hey man, way to pony up, way to gut it, way to gut it out. I'm scared to listen to it on the podcast, but it was tough. It was intimidating. They're very good.
You know, I didn't even turn on your mic. I'm kidding.
Knock that man a week's pay. I know. And listen, I heard myself. There's no way you could have cut me out of there. I kind of took over. Yeah, I did a little crooning.
Yeah. No, you did great.
Thank you. I was hoping I'd have that Phoebe effect. Remember that episode of Friends where she thought she sounded better with a cold? I don't even know how I sound without a cold. I mean, I was in like swing choir in high school. I was in a barbershop quartet for a year when I was a senior. That was fun. But I always had like the easiest part to sing. Like, I feel like I have no range. So I'm sitting next to these three amazing musicians and I kept having to jump in. It was like trying to jump in and double dutch. I'd come in and it's like, no, that didn't sound right. I'm going to hold off. And then I waited, I picked my spot and then I dove in. It was very fun. So that's there last night. And I listened to Jimmy's ripping on my shirt again last night. I don't know if there's ever been a more genuine moment on Nightlight. That was just so pre-planned. Like, I told you it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And right out of the gate, it didn't even take him 2 minutes. He's like, what's going on with that shirt, buddy? Like, he just.
Yeah.
I heard from my daughter. I picked her up this morning. And it was like, she was laughing hysterically. And she didn't even know what was going on. Very funny.
I remember you're like, I don't know why I wore the shirt. Because I know he's gonna come on and he's going to say something about it.
My judgments have been cloudy all week. I just was leaving the house. I'm like, well, that shirt looks warm. It's cold outside. I want to make sure I don't get a chill. So I took the worst shirt I own. And now I'm going to put it in the rotation. I will double down on that shirt.
Okay.
Yeah. So do you follow influencers?
Depending on what you mean by influencer.
Well, let's say Instagram. Because the only thing I go to Instagram for is I watch reels of funny stuff. The occasional knockout. Although I can't even watch the UFC anymore. It just kind of grosses me out. But the occasional knockout. I like shuffle dancers. And once in a while, I'll see someone with so many crazy followers. I'll click on their profile and say, why are people following this person? And I used to think, oh, he's handsome or she's pretty. That's why they're following. But I clicked on this girl the other day. And I'm like, how's it? She was like 22. Just, how does a 22-year-old get a million followers? She's just lip syncing.
There you go.
But you know what? She's not even good at it. Like, I don't understand how you would just follow someone who's attractive just because they can lip sync. We'll get into this. I know we got a lot to do. All right. Send us your text, folks. We'll read them on the radio.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back. Sometimes I just get whipped up into a frenzy and I can't stop talking. But I can see you. You're like tiny Conrad. Is there a way to make yourself bigger so I can see your cues? There we go. Are you uncomfortable with that?
No. I asked you before the show. I said, can you see me? You said, yeah.
I can see, but when I start ranting and raving, I go red with my own opinions.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Better job, so. That's only like the third time that's ever happened. We've been on over a year now. And I think I've only been cut off like three times, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm not bragging. It never happened. It's not hard to do. But all right. So our question tonight, ladies and gentlemen, is what is your favorite Christmas carol? We did least favorite last night. We're doing favorite tonight. And you are welcome to be part of the show. In fact, I hope you join up because it will be fun. I'm reading texts throughout the night. And let's start with Tom in Jackson. He says, the other thing you could weigh in, folks, is It's a Wonderful Life. It came out in 1946 on this day. So we'll be reading I'll be back and forth on the text line between favorite Christmas carols and It's a Wonderful Life tidbits. Tom and Jackson says, I think Jimmy Stewart's performance was enhancing from just coming back from flying the heavy bomber four engine B-24s in combat over Europe. More raw emotion. That is a great point, Tom. And I mentioned this, I can't remember who I was talking to last night about It's a Wonderful Life, but there's that moment where he thinks he's lost everything. And then he has to face his family and he's hugging his daughter and the emotion on his face. He's just squeezing her because he's so scared. You're probably very right. He had a lot to draw on. So yeah, I'm glad he took that role, even though he may not have been ready for it or thought he wasn't ready for it. Eric from Lodi says, Bob Seger has a fantastic version of Little Drummer Boy. I was not aware of that. I do like the David Bowie version with Bing Crosby. That's one of my favorites. We played that recently. But I love Bob Seger. And I was unaware of his Little Drummer Boy. Anna in Madison says, Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Christmas song is Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas by Chrissy Hynde. Nice, Anna. I have heard that. Not for years, though. I think that's kind of cool. Like when rock stars started doing Christmas carols, like Bruce Springsteen, Santa Claus is Coming to Town. We talked a little bit about that. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I think Tom Petty has them. Lennon, McCartney, they all have them. I think that's fun. Not all of them are good, but it just gives you some variety when it comes to Christmas carols. You don't have to listen to the old timeless ones, even though some of them are great. There's some variety there. Eric from Lodi says, my favorite Christmas song is contemporary versions of, pardon me, contemporary versions of The Little Drummer Boy. Oh, I read these backwards. He says, you have to listen to the Pentatonix version of it. I don't know that band. All right. Conrad, take a memo. We'll see if we can find that. You think we can find that?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Chris from Madison says, one of the wild things I love about It's a Wonderful Life is the fact that at the time that it came out, it was not that very popular. That's true. Only through syndication, only through the fact that so many TV stations were able to purchase it for the very low amount of money that it became a very popular Christmas movie. That's fascinating. I didn't know that. That's how it became a feature in our lives. And there's something very democratic about that. And I'm very happy about it. Very well said, Chris. Yeah, that's a great point. I knew it wasn't like a home run when it came out. Like critics didn't flock to it. So, but it definitely stood the test of time. And you cannot deny, it's kind of fun when people overpower critics and they just decide, no, sorry, this is a great movie. And that is definitely what happened there. John from Madison says, I didn't get to weigh in on what's one of the worst carols he's talking about, which I think is Paul McCartney's Discordant Simply Having a Wonderful Christmas Time. We did talk about that last night. You are not alone there, John. He says, one of my faves, though, even though Yoko is singing, surprisingly, is John Lennon's So This Is Christmas. People weren't split on that one, too, last night, Conrad. Some people liked it. Some people were, that's The War Is Over. I think one of the doctors in recital said that was their least favorite. So there's no right or wrong answers, folks. Thanks for the text, John. And then from these 262, Jim in K-Town says, Father Christmas, Davies Brothers. I don't know that song. You heard of that, Conrad?
I think I have. It sounds familiar.
I'll have to check that out. Thank you, Jim. Great text, everybody. Keep them coming. What is your favorite Christmas carol? That's tonight's question. The exact opposite of last night's question of the night. Annie from Watertown says, remember we viewed, I think is what she meant to say, we viewed on TV broadcasts. Yeah, that's true. And that's what the other texter was saying, too, about how it got so popular on broadcast TV. She says, years ago, I didn't miss much with movies. Must have been the late 70s. All of a sudden, it's a Wonderful Life. Before that, it wasn't really a thing. It's crazy how that happens. That's a great point. And Tom from Jackson also continues saying, Cary Grant, too upper class for this movie. Totally agree with that, Tom. And I think I liked Cary Grant in North by Northwest, but even there, he plays kind of a upper class guy in that, and he's fine, but there's still something, he's just too much movie star. I'd like to see a little more actor. Not like he's unwatchable or anything. But anyway, great stuff. Keep those texts coming, folks. That's all right, Conrad. I was on my rant about influencers.
Yeah.
And people just getting followers, mostly because they're good looking. Like someone who is lip syncing, who is not attractive, probably doesn't get the followers. So that's the question. Do you have to lip sync, or would people?
Oh, Pete, I think you cut out there a little bit. Let's put on some music. We'll be right back with Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
And you better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town.
It's one of those songs I was talking about. I'm playing some of the old, some of the new. That's our question tonight, folks. What is your favorite Christmas carol or Christmas song? Last night we did least favorite. Tonight we're doing favorite. We'll probably read these again on our New Year's Eve or on our Christmas Eve show. Pardon me. Having trouble talking tonight. Great to have you with me on Nightlight on this Friday night before Christmas, the last weekend before Christmas as we head into it. Lots of great movies in the theaters right now and lots of cool stuff opening. We are going to get into all of this with my next guest. Always great to have this guy on the show. He is a Milwaukee film and TV critic. Matt Miller joins us here now tonight on Nightlight. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing very well. Thank you. I appreciate you giving up a Friday night with the family to hang out a little bit here on Nightlight. So thank you.
Oh, no, you got me. You got me in time just before the Notre Dame Indiana game tonight. So you're doing great.
When does that start?
7 o'clock, baby.
Okay. Well, we better start barreling through some of this stuff. I was probably going to keep you a couple minutes after because I got a lot of stuff.
Oh, no, you're fine. I mean, they say they started. It's like football where they're like, oh, they start at 7. Nah, 7:20.
Are you a Notre Dame fan? Because I was going to ask you about something Notre Dame related the last time you were on the show, and I was trying to figure out what angle you were playing, like if you were doing it in favor of the Fighting Irish or against.
So, horrible story. I hate Notre Dame, but my wife loves Notre Dame, and I love my wife. Therefore, I now am a Notre Dame fan.
Okay.
So, I'm doing my best. I'm trying to watch the games where I can root for Notre Dame when they're playing someone that I hate more than them. Indiana, but you kind of qualify tonight.
I'm with you. I grew up like where I lived. When I was in Chicago, everybody was a Notre Dame fan.
Yeah.
My uncles went to Notre Dame. I heard about it constantly. And then at some point I realized it was a school I was never going to get into. So I'm like, why am I cheering for this school just because other people I know went there? And I started to notice an arrogance about the place. So I'm kind of with you, but I don't want to make your wife upset either.
No. She knows my stance on these matters. And I'm just a big, like, I root for underdogs, generally speaking.
Yeah.
So, like, when I was a kid, like, I hated the Yankees, hated Notre Dame, hate, Hate all those teams that you're supposed to like. Hate the right. Dodgers and the Lakers and all that, and definitely the Celtics.
That's funny. I never, when I was a kid, I could not stand the Lakers. I didn't like Showtime. I thought they were all cocky. It was the Hollywood thing. I just thought I can never cheer for this team. Then I lived out there almost 15 years, and I used to feel that way about the Dodgers, but the Dodgers are more of a working man's team. The whole city likes them. I really kind of became a Dodger fan. I still could never in a million years cheer for the Lakers.
Yeah, the Dodgers are the Yankees with charm, with a little pizzazz. You know, they're the Yankees with glitter, and then the Cardinals are the Yankees without the charm somehow.
Man. You're not kidding. Hey, it's great to have you. Are you ready for Christmas, Matt?
No, I'm woefully behind on gift buying. I'm woefully behind on everything. And every year I'm like, nah, this won't happen next year. And every year, lo and behold,
here we are. Well, take me off the list. Don't get me anything this year. If that helps, I want to put that out there. So
I got you Madame Web on Blu-ray. I think you'll love it.
Let's jump in. You've seen a lot of stuff. I applaud you're a go-getter. when it comes to movies, I'm a little bit behind. I'm a lot behind you, but a little bit behind in general. Let's start with Wicked and Gladiator, whatever you want to call it. I did read kind of what you wrote in your Substack, but what did you think of each movie?
So I like Wicked. I generally am a big fan of that movie. I think the performers are really great. I think Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are really good. I think the songs are good. I love the production of it. I love the sets and I love the costumes. I really enjoyed those parts of that movie. I am here for all of the laudits it's getting, except I think it's a poorly directed movie. And that's very disappointing because I believe it's John Chu who's the director.
Yeah.
He got his come up with the Step Up movies. He directed Step Up 3D, which is a tremendous dance movie. It's colorful and he knows how to just like sit the camera down and enjoy a dance number. And then you watch Wicked, and he did In the Heights, which is a pretty well done musical as well. And then you watch Wicked and he's just weirdly married to blowing out his footage with backlighting and this realistic, you know, and there's the dance number, Dancing Through Life, which seems like it's going to be this massive, you know, this kind of really fun dance number. There's good choreography. Jonathan Bailey is really performing well in it, but they edit it and slice it to death. So you can't really see some of the cool, interesting choreography going on. And then again, they use this glare inducing backlight, you know, this natural sunlight coming in, and the result kind of washes the scene out. So it doesn't look as exciting as you want it to. Compare that to like a West Side Story, Steven Spielberg's West Side Story, where it's so colorful and he knows how to stay in a long shot and just kind of let the dance and the choreography sing. That kind of upsets me about the movie. And I'll be upset if it gets a cinematography or a director nomination, but honestly, if it gets a Best Picture nomination in January, I won't be too upset. I just, it's the new King's Speech for me, where I think the King's Speech is a good movie, and I think the director's terrible. And hopefully we don't have a case where, you know, the director of a good movie directed poorly gets the reward.
I love when I talk to people like you, or every once in a while I'll have someone on the show that makes me realize why that I didn't like something. And it was exactly what you were saying with that dance number. I was like, it's a spectacular song. And I didn't realize it didn't work for me until you were just saying that, because I had kind of forgotten about it. But I remember thinking that during the film. I'll say this, Matt. When it comes to directing, not to jump ahead, because I liked Wicked too. I thought it was really good, but Gladiator 2, I liked it, but it seemed like kind of an homage to the first one. And I don't know if we talked about that already, but I feel like Ridley Scott, you know, he's 30 years older than he was when he did the last one. I felt like he lost a step directorially. It just didn't, there's some stuff about it I just didn't like.
Yeah, I agree with you that the movie's kind of a nothing burger in its way. And I do think it's a little too married to the original movie. I was kind of forewarned about that with some reviews, and then I saw it and was like, it wasn't quite as much as I was worried it was going to be. But it has a similar issue to me, Gladiator 2, that Ridley Scott's House of Gucci had, where he can't quite figure out the tone of these movies anymore, where he doesn't quite know if he's making this kind of campy gladiator movie where there's, like, you know, crazy backroom Machiavellian things going on, or if he wants to make a serious movie that's about serious topics. And he doesn't know if he wants to be, you know, a satisfying blockbuster. And it kind of ends up not landing well in any of those categories. So you have interesting stuff going on. Sorry about my dog barking in the background. He has,
sorry, I've been coughing all night. I'm actually trying to time my coughing with your dog barking.
The dog just has so many thoughts about Gladiator 2, actually. He really likes the two emperors. But it really kind of frustrates. Like, it is a movie that has interesting thoughts and performances. And then you have Denzel kind of hamming it up, which I think is fun. And that, you know, the baboon scene, which would be fun, but it's trying to exist in this realistic kind of world where it wants me to care about, right, you know, the kind of inequality of the society. And I can't even get into the movie's politics, which are weird, where it's like, oh, Rome is bloated and it's this overabundant city that's lost its way and needs to be destroyed. But also maybe it shouldn't. And also maybe the guy who should bring it is, you know, basically royalty. Like, yeah, it's just a very conflicted political movie. And yeah, it's just kind of a jumble, which is a shame because Gladiator, you know, is such a kind of great classic blockbuster. It's just, yeah, a really well-told story. I know it seems kind of simple and basic to some, you know, movie snobs, but I think it kind of has that Top Gun Maverick thing where it's just like, it knows how to tell a classic good story well with good characters and great special effects and, you know, great, yeah, great spectacle. And this doesn't quite have that.
I agree. And Gladiator was less, it just wasn't convoluted. It was, yeah, well acted. The music was great, well directed. It just didn't, you know, it got out of its own way and just let the story happen. Whereas this, I felt like just what you said with the politics and it's just, and I loved Pedro Pascal in the movie, though. I would say even more so than Denzel. Like, Pedro, but
he's in a different movie. That's the thing. Pedro Pascal is in a different movie than Denzel Washington is in, which, yes, is a different movie than the two emperors are in, which is a different movie than Paul Mescal is in, because Mescal didn't show up for this movie. I really like Paul Mescal as an actor, but he, every time the movie is like, oh, this man full of rage, people want to follow him. And I'm like, him? This guy,
yeah,
he seems fine. Like, this is our main character. All these interesting performances in this movie, and this is the guy that I have, right, invested in.
Yeah, I thought he had moments, but uneven. You know, it's just, yeah, he is a good actor, but I kind of agree with you.
It's,
yeah,
nowhere near the Russell Crowe Gladiator, where, you know, he had a career before that. Obviously, L.A. Confidential is his true kind of coming out, oh, party. Yeah. But Gladiator made him a movie star. And that doesn't happen for Paul Mescal here. It's not a movie star performance.
Well put. Matt Miller is my guest. You could check out his work at A Man About Film on Substack. He does great work there. And he is nice enough to join us here tonight on Nightlight on this Friday edition. Let's jump to another movie people seem to really like. And I'm glad you mentioned this when we were texting earlier. I didn't love it, but Carry On.
Oh, no.
What did you think about Carry On?
I think, you know, we were just talking about movies that know what they are, that, you know where they fall. Carry, yeah, On is a perfect example of a movie that's like, this is a ridiculous kind of premise that we're going to stretch to feature length, and we're going to do it really smart and cleverly and really fun for the people who don't know what this movie is. It is the new Netflix thriller starring Taron Egerton about a TSA agent working LAX on Christmas who gets unwillingly recruited by a terrorist to make sure he gets a bomb through security. And it's really well done. I think it's flashy, but without being distractingly so. I think it's clever in ways and how it dispenses its information. I think Edgerton's a really compelling performer. The villain in the movie is Jason Bateman, who I think is really growing into this kind of villain second career he's got going on.
He's great, yeah.
He really is good at weaponizing the smarminess that he used for comedy and things like Horrible Bosses and Arrested Development, and weaponizing that for evil in things like Ozark and The Gift and now this. I think it's kind of almost a perfect, you know, if this movie came out in January, you'd call it a perfect January movie, where it's not an Oscar movie. It's not, you know, some brilliant work of artistic genius, but it's just a perfectly told thriller. And I had a really good time with it. It sounds like you had a little bit less of a great time.
It almost seemed like they kind of shoehorned it in to make it a Christmas movie, like Die Hard or something. But here are my issues, Matt. They're very simple. And if you had told me, hey, go see this, it's really silly but fun, I might have looked at it differently. I wanted a real thriller. But this film, a couple things. He's sitting there talking with the earpiece in. I'm like, he just looks like he's talking to himself. Like every scene is just him talking, and Dean Norris is watching him like a hawk. And then the guy who dies that Jason Bateman kills, like 20 minutes later in the movie, we got the tox report back or the forensics report back. That was not a real heart attack. I'm like, you don't get that back in 20 minutes. They're still scraping the body off. And, you know,
they haven't even notified the family yet.
So I think like with a little bit of less lazy writing, it could have been it was an interesting premise. Yeah. We're going to kill your pregnant girlfriend if you don't let this bomb through. Love the log line, you know?
I think it's one of those movies. It's a magic trick movie where if you sit down and think about it's very similar to Trap, which is kind of a similar premise, actually, you know, kind of pressure cooker person kind of having to worm their way out of a situation. It's one of those movies where if you sit down and you really think about the logistics of the movie, it definitely falls apart. But I think the direction is so good in both the case of Trap with M. Night Shyamalan. And I forget the name of the director of this one, but he also directed stuff like Orphan and stuff like Nonstop, which is also like schlocky stuff, but really well-crafted. Like Orphan is an incredible movie that should not work, but it's so confidently, gorgeously directed. And the script is just a smidge smarter than you think it'll be. I think it's smart about how it goes about being stupid. Carry on.
And yeah, my son and I thought it was Paul Blart meets, I wish I could remember the other. We had all these little mixtures. Anyway, Matt Miller is here. We'll have more with Matt coming up after a very short break here. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back. My guest is Matt Miller. Check out his work at A Man About Film on Substack. Matt is a Milwaukee-based film and TV critic, and always fun to talk with Matt here on the show. So, so let's jump to another movie that people seem to really like, Matt. And I have not seen this yet. I was telling my friend last night who was on the show, Jimmy Pardo, that I'm dying to see The Order, and it's not playing. I live in kind of a small town. It hasn't made it here yet. I was at a wedding in Chicago last weekend, and across from the hotel was this big 20-screen multiplex. And I'm like, boom, I'm going to see this movie, piece of cake. I kept missing the time it played. Oh. It is not in the cards for me to see this film anytime soon. Tell me what I'm missing.
Yeah, and I'm sure it's got bombed out of theaters now that you've got Mufasa and Sonic the Hedgehog and all these releases. It's a small movie directed by Justin Kurzel, who directed the Assassin's Creed movie, the Macbeth movie starring Michael Fassbender. And this is kind of a throwback. I think it takes place in the 80s, I want to say, but it stars Jude Law as a cop trying to find out how to get to the middle of this kind of white supremacist terrorist group that is kind of growing. And this is kind of just a really good, like, meat and potatoes cops and robbers movie, essentially, with really strong performances. Jude Law, really good. One of the better Jude Law performances out there. You kind of forget it's him. Nicholas Holt, who's had a very good winter between this, Juror Number Two, and he's in Nosferatu coming out on Christmas.
Wow.
He plays the lead white supremacist. It's not a flashy movie. It's not like, you know, this isn't a movie that's going to blow your mind in terms of, you know, it's kind of theatrics or anything like that. But it is kind of a classic detective story. And it's really well done. It unfortunately has some things to say about today's society and kind of, you know, underestimating these kind of growing ugly forces and ugly groups growing underneath our society. I really enjoyed it. I think it's kind of a low-key gem in this time of year. It's a shame that, you know, come Oscar season, a bunch of really good movies come out, but if they're not Best Picture nominees, if they're not movies that are getting a ton of attention, they just immediately disappear. And hopefully people check this one out. Again, it's called The Order, not the most catchy name, not the most obvious name either, but it's really well done. It's worth your while.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to see it. I meant to check earlier to see if it was on like Fandango at home, but I'll definitely check that out. Very well.
It'll be sooner than later. I bet. Yeah. I would imagine it'll probably pop up as a rentable thing sooner than later.
Let's talk about another film that's out now that is not getting very good reviews, but audiences seem to be more a fan of it, which isn't all that rare, but Kraven the Hunter. What was your take on that? That good cast, two big, pretty big movie stars, but was it, do you agree with critics or?
It's allegedly a movie I saw. It is the first major motion picture that's ever been projected through the memory eraser from Men in Black. Like, it disappears as soon as you watch it on screen. There's just nothing to this movie. Honestly, the plot isn't interesting. The performances aren't interesting. There's every now and then a performance is like, oh, that's kind of fun, but you can just feel the movie washing through your brain while you're watching it. Yeah, it's kind of, and it's disappointing because I have been enjoying some of Aaron Taylor Johnson's stuff recently. It's got Ariana DeBose, who was really good in West Side Story. You know, it's got Russell Crowe, just normally ham sandwich, you know, he's just loves hamming it up these days. The director is great. It's JC Chandor, who did A Most Violent Year, and he did Margin Call, got nominated for Oscars for Margin Call. The movie should be better. If anything, the movie should be memorable. Like, say what you will about Madame Web. I remember Madame Web. It is memorably not a good movie. You know, at least there's something aggressively not good about that. Whereas Kraven the Hunter, it is going to be one of the more forgotten movies that exist from this year. And I've already forgotten it.
I have not seen much of Aaron Taylor Johnson. I know there's rumors that he's going to be the next Bond. I see his abs all over the internet. They look like AI abs. The guy's got like a 12 pack. Is he a good actor?
It depends. I think if you give him a good director, I think he can do, he's one of those kind of actors. Like he kind of is fun in Tenet. I think Christopher Nolan lets him chew in the scenery there. I think he was good in the Kick-Ass movies, or at least the first one, not much as good in the second one. But then he's a net negative on the Godzilla movie that came out in 2014, a movie that just needs a remotely interesting lead performance to be a really good movie, and he cannot do that. The movie is just, he's not interesting, and the movie's not interested in his character. So I'm glad it seems like the Bond movies are not happening. I just read a report today that apparently Barbara Broccoli, the head of Ion, the head of Bond, is feuding with Amazon MGM right now, who owns James Bond, who technically owned the rights to it. And apparently they're like not going to make a Bond movie for a while because Amazon desperately wants them to do a Marvel style franchise where they want spinoffs and they want, you know, a Bond extended universe and all that stuff. And Barbara Broccoli's like, no, I make James Bond movies. That's what we make. And she's very smart because if there's one thing we learned from this past year that we learned from Kraven the Hunter and Madame Web and, you know, Blue Beetle, is that audiences' interest in these secondary characters, in these kind of subplot, you know, spin-off characters, not that high. People want to see the real deal. They don't want to see, you know, these expanded universes as much anymore. Ask the Marvels. How'd that work out for Marvel?
Yeah, no kidding. So Matt, can we keep you for a few minutes?
Absolutely.
All right. We're going to do some news here at Civic Media, award-winning news that is going to keep you informed, folks. And then when we come back, I'm going to ask Matt about some of the movies that are opening. This is a pretty good weekend, in my opinion, of movies that are coming out and coming out on Christmas Day. We'll cover that next with Matt. And then we'll read some more of your texts on our question of the night, which is, what is your favorite Christmas carol? Get in on the fun. It's Nightlight with Peach Wabba, a Friday edition here at the Civic Media Radio Network. At this moment, you need everything.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.